Today's daf is daf Lamed Aleph, and we're holding at the Mishnah. Zakre like a Mishnah, haminiach pirot, liyot mafrish aleihem truma umaasrot. So somebody leaves some pirot in a particular place where he believes that they're safe, in order for him to use them as the truma or maaser of something that he's going to need to take off truma to maaser. That way, wherever he gets tevel, let's say he's at somebody's house, if he doesn't trust them, so he wants to take off truma to maaser, he doesn't have any additional perot to take off, so he uses them, and he says, now, the trumot that are chayev on this particular thing is going to be the perot that I leave over in that room. Now, the question over here, of course, is that there's a bit of a problem in doing that because it's shalom and amukaf. We learned before that you always take off trumas from something that is nearby you. And how can the Mishnah say that that's what to do, as if it's a normal thing? And as a matter of fact, if you recall, Rashi said just before yesterday that the iser is shalom and amukav is because we're afraid indeed about the question of whether they're continuing to exist at that time. And here the Mishnah is going to be telling us that you can be samech on them, that they're still around because of the chazaka. So lechora, the only thing you could say over here is that they were in a place where you put them, that they're actually well taken care of, and over there, you don't have to worry. This is some of the Rishonim and Matarets. Tosis is Matarets over here, that it's talking about a case of emergency. This was the sheet of the Tosis all along, that where it's like Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov, where you're unable, in the end, to take off Maaser and Truma, unless you do it this way, so you can do it this way. There's other Tirutz in it as well, for instance, that we're talking about Truma and Maaser, and it was in somebody else's hand. It's not talking about actual Truma Gedayla. In any event, the Mishnah, perhaps, I mean, you could always say that the Mishnah is talking about this, talking about a Yavad, not necessarily about a Chaver, who's doing it only correctly. But let's ignore, set that aside for a moment. So either correctly or incorrectly, you were going ahead and you were taking off Trumot Masrot from Perot that were deposited in a different location. Or suppose you had set aside money in a safe location, where you're given things that you need to be poted the Maaser She'ni on in order for you to be able to eat it outside of Yerushalayim or Betumah. So you want to be bechalal it on that money. So you can continue to assume that the perot or the money is around, and mafrish aleihem bechazkat shein kayamim, having left them in one piece, you can assume that they continue to be in one piece. Now, suppose you went ahead and did that, and then you came for a visit, and you find that they're not no longer there. Someone had stolen the money, or the perot had rotted, so im avdu. So then, areze choshesh mi'etz, you're going to have to worry for 24 hours about whether they were there. Now we'll see in the Gemara whether that means 24 hours prior to when you found it, or up to 24 hours going back many months, but 24 hours beyond when you left it, you can rely that it's there no more. That's a question in the Gemara. Ivrei Rabbi Elazar. So this is the sheet of Rabbi Elazar, who says that we're talking here about Me'et Li'et. And we'll see that the Rabbanan argue, as we're going to start talk about. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bishlosha Prakim, once we're already on this topic, there are three times a year when you have to check to make sure that the wine that you left over to take off Trumot to Maasrot, that it's still around and has not turned into vinegar, and you're not allowed to take off, if it is vinegar, from vinegar on wine. So Botkin et Hayayin three times a year, and that way you can be sure that your wine is kosher and that you took off your Trumot to Maasrot correctly. What are those three times? Well, you have the Kidum Shabbatzei Achag, when you have the severe winds that come out of the east that begin after Chag HaSukkot, that those winds are very, very, carry a lot of warm temperatures, and because of that, the wine can actually turn into vinegar rapidly. And Behotza'at Simadar, after the grapes begin to ripen to Simadar level, which is after the blossom falls off, and now you see an actual shape of a grape cluster, which is really cool, in an early stage, ubishat knisat mayim baboser, and at the time that the grapes that have grown to the size of boser, which is a lot larger, at that point when the water, in other words, the liquid starts filling them up, and at that point you can actually squeeze out liquid, so then at that point also it's in danger and it's vulnerable, for during that period the wine is vulnerable to get vinegary. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah that we should be choshesh me'et la'et. As we mentioned, it's not clear what that means. It could mean back up to me'et la'et, or it could mean you can be choshesh, you'll have to be choshesh 24 hours before the time that you found it, which of course would be a bikula. So my la'et la'et, Rabbi Yochanan, me'et la'et shobedika. Now let's say you found on Monday that you've got a problem. So then what you can do is you can be sumech that anything that you did up till Sunday at the same time would be kosher, and anything after that you have to be choshesh mitzad safek to be mafresh on it, and that's all. But you don't have to worry more than that. In other words, you can rely, even if it's a couple of months since you had last checked, you can rely on the chazaka that it was good up until Sunday. Rabbi Elazar ben Antignas, Amir Mishum, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yanai, that no, it's actually much more chomer than that. It means mi'et le'et shel hanacha. You can only rely on the first 24 hours from the time that you put it there, then you could be sure that it was okay. But beyond that, since we found it now that it's no good, you have to be choshesh the 24 hours later, it was already no good, because we have a reyeset in the chazaka. Something is telling us that clearly things are not the way we left it. Tanan, says the Gemara, now, the lashon of the Mishnah doesn't seem to work out equally in both of these approaches, because it says, im avdu, if it turns out that you found that they were gone, areze choshesh me'et le'et. You should be choshesh 24 hours, is what it seems to be saying. So that, if that's the case, so bishleim leman diyomer mi'et le'et shabdika. If mi'et le'et means that from the current check, you have to be choshesh 24 hours before, so then the words make sense. Shapir, that's what the Mishnah is saying. Choshesh mi'et le'et, you have to worry for 24 hours. But if you learn that it means, leman diyomer, that it means you have to be choshesh for many months, and that you can only rely on it mi'et le'et shetranacha. So why do you use the word me'et le'et? It's not true. I me'et le'et? You should say, ad me'et le'et mi'boyle. You should have to say your choshesh up until the point at which you're within 24 hours of the time that you left it there. Says the Gemara, kasha, you're right. The lashon does really not work out that well according to this approach, but it's not catastrophic. Now, we learn that the halacha is that your choshesh me'et le'et according to Rabbi Elazar. This is Rabbi Elazar, the Tana, of course, which is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Now, Omar Rabbi Elazar, this is referring to the Amora. We have had this many, many times, where Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, who is the Amora, discusses Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, who is the Tana. It's a little bit confusing. So, Omar Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, that Chalukina Alav Chavirava, Rabbi Elazar, you should know, that even though the Mishnah doesn't bring the other Shita, but actually the Rabbanan are chaylik on Rabbi Elazar, and they hold that you cannot be sumech on the Chazaka, because since you found that it's there, how can you arbitrarily determine the time that the Chazaka, that it was okay, is to be relied on, and what we found now, that it's wrecked, cannot be relied on. I mean, you should have to be mafresh on everything that you did from the time that you turned around. How do I know that we do not agree with Rabbi Elazar, says Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat? That's not, because take a look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah is about a mikveh that had a chazaka. There was a perfectly kosher mikveh, so it had 40 sa in it. Now, 3 months later, you come along and you check it, and all of a sudden you see that, no, actually it no longer has 40 sa, and it's not kosher. This is exactly the same case, right? As you had the peirot, sufficient peirot to take off shumot and masrot, which would make something kosher, just like the mikveh would make something tohar. You found now that the mikveh is chaser, just like you found now that the peirot were not there. And it says over here in the Mishnah, Kol Tarot Shenasoga Bav Lamafreya, anything that you had touched that was based on a tahira of a person or a kli that had been made tohar in that mikveh, whether the mikveh was bein b'rishut ha-yachid, bein b'rishut ha-rabim, well, normally we say that safek tumah b'rishut ha-yachid is tameh, but b'rishut ha-rabim is tahar. In this case, there's no difference, and everything is considered to be tumeot. It's all tameh, because the din of safek tumah b'rishut ha-rabim is only a din in whether you were safek if you touched the tumah or not. So over there, the safek tells us that you didn't. That's what we learn out from sota. But over here, we know that we had something that was tameh. So there, we don't have the normal safek. You're trying to now be matire it. So here, it seems to be exactly the same thing. According to Rabbi Elazar, we should only have to worry 24 hours. And here it says, according to Rabbanan, no, the entire time, everything has to be done. Says the Gemara, well, pshita da chalukim, isn't it obvious? I mean, that's what the Mishnah is saying. Why do I need Rabbi Elazar to tell me that the Mishnah, the Beferisha Mishnah, is being cholek? I know how to read the Mishnah. No. Says the Gemara, if it wouldn't be for Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, so I would have said, ma'o detema ma'i lemafreya, I would have said, the meaning, perhaps, of lemafreya, is lemafreya, meaning, be'et leit, in other words, whatever that time of lemafreya is. Maybe they don't argue on Rabbi Elazar. Gomash balan, that indeed, they're cholik, and there's absolutely no time whatsoever, according to them, that we would rely on this chazaka. The next thing we learned in the Mishnah is that Rabbi Yehuda Amar b'shlosha prakim, there's three times you've got to check to make sure that your wine has not gone vinegar. One of them is when the east wind blows after Sukkot. So now Tana, the Brisa says, b'kidum shematzayach shel tkufa. This is not exactly true. It's only true when the last day of Sukkot has fallen during the Tkufa of Tishrei, which means during the fall season, which is obviously determined by the solar year, because it has to do with the position of the sun, not by when it is that Sukkot falls out. Even though normally we try very hard to make sure that the year is constructed by adding a month or so, or subtracting days for Rosh Chodesh, making months for Chaser, and so on, in order to make sure that we're adding days to make sure that it's pushed off so at least one day if Sukkot falls out in the Tkufa. However, as Tosfos points out, we do not do that if the sole reason for changing the year is only for the Tkufa. So if we needed to add a month, we wouldn't do it if there was no other additional point. So therefore, it is possible for Sukkot to be not during the fall when it's supposed to be. And then, if it isn't, so then we don't have to be chayish for the Kinyan Shabbat Zayachah, because that's not what the Kinyan Shabbat Zayachah is. So at that point, you'd have to wait only until the actual Kidum. And any east wind is not called that Kidum of that Kufa. Tanya, Rav Yehuda Amar b'Shlosha Prakim Mochrin Et HaTfuah. There's another halacha. Once we're already on the Shlosha Prakim of Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says another thing, that there's three Prakim. Now, it's not immediately evident what the halachic implications of this are. I think Gemara is going to clarify that in a moment. So there's three times here when you sell tvua, you sell grain. Lifnei hazera, before planting time, where a lot of people need to purchase grain in order to have it to plant. Bishat hazera, where people may have used up every last seed that they've got because it's their investment, but now they don't have enough to eat. Uvefrosa pesach, and also 15 days, we call it prosa pesach, because there's 30 days, pros means half, 30 days before the Chag, we start darshaning the Ilchus HaChag, which includes the dinner of baking the matzahs. So 15 days later, in other words, 2 weeks before Pesach, there's already starting to be a lot of work done on the matzot. People are looking to buy tefillah to bake matzah, so that's when we sell. There's also B'Shlosha Prakim, there's three times here that you're mochrim at hayayin, says Rav Yehuda. And that's 15 days before Pesach. Obviously, everybody needs a lot of wine for Pesach. Before Sat Seret, before Sachag. But also, all of the Sholosh Regalim are time for people to drink, and therefore, before Shavuos, before Sukkot, is also necessary 15 days before for people to buy. V'shemen, as far as shemen is concerned, it doesn't have a particular time, since the market is basically from Shavuos on. Miatzer Ve'elach. L'may Yuchta says, well, who cares? I mean, what's the point over here? Omar Ravi, Tamer of Prabhupada, makes a very important difference in terms of civil law. L'shut Afin. The din is, if you have two shutafim, one does not have rights to sell without the other one, unless it's a period in which we can assume that he's getting the best price. So that if he sells it some other time besides these three times, and then the price goes up for these three times, now the other shutaf could sue him for the difference in price and say it's your fault for selling at this time. You should have waited for the main market. Masha Enkein, during that time, if he sells, even if indeed the price does go up for some reason, the other shutaf has to accept the fact that he did on a best try basis. So it was due diligence, and he doesn't have to take responsibility. That's one shot. Other rishonim say that it has to do with the bitul of shutafut, that if two people invested money in purchasing grain and selling, then normally you can demand to be mevatel shutafut by buying the other guy out or by demanding that he buy you out. In this case, because the person invested with the understanding that he would be able to get the best price for his investment, it's not fair to do that until after these times when you could have sold and you could have made his money back. How about if you missed all these times? So then what? Is there a secondary time? Amar Rava, no. There's no secondary time. If you missed these times, so then Kuyuma Pirkei. Then, I mean, obviously you're not going to wait until the next year to sell the old grain, so you could sell as fast as you can. Now, once we already brought the inyan of the Ruach Kadim, we want to discuss the Ruach Kadim a little bit more. Because it's not simply that the Ruach Kadim is nogea, particularly the impact that it has on the wine, because it also has an interesting history in Tanakh. It says, Vayikiz Ruach HaShemesh, Vayaman Elim Ruach Kadim Charishit. So now Yonah is sitting there, and there he is under the burning rays of the sun, and God makes things worse. He makes this Charishit east out of the east wind. What does Charishit mean? Charishit has a lot of different meaning. I mean, Charishit seems to come from the word to be Choresh, which is to plow. Charishit could be from Cheresh, which means to shut up, sneaky. Amar Rav Yehuda, what it means is, B'sha'ash b'rashevet osat tlamim tlamim b'yam. It comes from the word harisha. So harisha means that it makes what appears to be furrows. It's so powerful that it creates deep furrows in the sea by setting up resonance waves. And that's why we call it a harishit, because it's very strong. Omalei Rabba, does that make sense in the context of the pasuk? It may well be true that that's, the Kadim does do that. But why would the pasuk mention a Ruach Kadim harishit if it's not coming to add something that was special about the Ruach Kadim that was impacting Yonah? I mean, Haino Dechtiv, can you explain to me why that would justify saying in the Pasuk that Batach Hashem Esharosh Yonah V'yitalaf? What, because, you're telling me because it makes furrows in the sea, so therefore the sun made him faint from sunstroke? What does one have to do with the other? It seems over here to trying to be tell us something about the impact it was having on the heat on Yonah. What it means is b'sha'ashim in hashevet mishatek et kol haruchot mifaneha. It actually is coming here from a lashon of cheresh, to be silent. And what it means is that it was such a powerful wind that it prevented, with its heat, it prevented the impact of the cool winds that normally cool things off and reach a balance. Over here was harishit. It was so powerful that it didn't allow anything to cool off, and therefore is a horrible chamsin, and Yonah fainted. V'ayinu dechtiv, asher begadecha chamim b'ashket eretz bidaron. Here it says your clothing is superheated when the land from the south was shut up. Omer of tachlif v'rav chista. Omer of chista, what does that mean? Imatai begadecha chamim. When do you make things hot? B'sha'ash yishkit eretz bidaron. When the Eretz Bidaron, which usually brings a softer wind that would cool things down, when that is prevented from cooling things down. When is that? When the Ruach Mizrachit comes. Shebisha'ash menashevet mishatekit kol haruchot mipaneha, even the cooling effects of the wind out of the south. Ravuna v'chista v'yatvik, Ravuna v'chista was sitting, chol avosu gneiva alayu. Gneiva was the, according to Moses, was the same Gneiva that we spoke about before, where we found that Avraham was having such problems, political problems. He was the one that was causing these political problems. And he was walking by while they were learning. So one said to the other, we should stand up. The Bar Urian, who after all is a big Talmud Chacham. The other one says, never. What, we're supposed to stand up in front of somebody who causes machlokesin? There's no mitzvah to show kavod haTorah to a person who is perverse and vicious. This is actually brought la'alacha by some of the Rishonim from here. Why should we stand up for him? While they're arguing about it, he comes to see them. So he says to them, what were you just relearning? We were talking about the winds. Now, the truth is, they weren't talking about the winds. They were talking about the ruach, meaning to play on words here. They were talking about the ruach of human beings, such as him. Whether a person has what's called a ruach gavoa or a ruach nemucha. And is he stuck up or is he a decent person? And they use this, basically, when they say we're talking about him. This is how some of the achronim explain. And they said, so we were talking about the winds. Now, the truth is that the Gemara that follows actually seems to be building on this double meaning of ruchot and sees the ruchot of the world as an expression of the idea of ruchot vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, as if it's his moods or his gestalt at that particular time. So indeed it says, kol sheruach habriyah is nocha, that anybody that his ruach is acceptable to people is someone that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ruach hamokom nocha emenu. So we see that there is the lashon of ruach in the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's feeling, which is similar to ruach in terms of the way that people relate to other people. So they said, we were talking about the ruchot. Ah, he said, the ruchot, I know something about that. Of course, assuming they meant the winds. That actually, you have wind that drives in four directions all of the day, and with all of them, ruach tzvonit, wind out of the north, which is just the right temperature, and it's delicious to feel, and soft. It's menashevet in kolam, you always have some of it, to protect the world from the impact of the weather that would come from the other directions. Shilmalaykein, if you wouldn't have the wind out of the north, you would never have a world be able to survive if it wouldn't be for the atmospheric circulation that brought winds down out of the north. And the truth is that the worst of them all is the ruach dromit, kashen mikulam. It's that wind from the south. That is a very difficult wind. So there's an ice-cold ruach, believe it or not, that's coming from the south. It's being brought around from the poles. And you need to protect from that ice age effect by having the mixture of the ruchot. But if you don't have any of that cooling effect, and you only have the ruach harishit, and of course, the earth will get very, very hot. And if it wouldn't be omalei ben netz ma'amida, if it wouldn't be that the malach ben netz prevents it from freely blowing with its own wings, it would cause a disaster, and the world wouldn't survive. Shinehamar, because he was told, ha'mibinatcha ye'evar netz, is it your brilliance that set up the netz to prevent this, with its wings, yeah, varmints to spread its wings and prevent the impact. And therefore, we see that it's a good thing that we have Yifros Kenafav Leteiman spreading its wings to the south, meaning to the impact of the wind from the south. Rava Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Aveyatve. Rava Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak were sitting, and Avichol Aviyoz Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov, the Yosef Beguaka de Dahava. Rav Nachman bar Yaakov was passing by, and he was sitting in this beautiful, beautiful palanquin. It was all gold. And above it, there was this beautiful beget that was protecting him from the sun. And Rava Azalagabe, so Rava went over there to give him covet. Whereas Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak didn't go. Nachman bar Yitzchak was thinking to himself, I mean, why is it that Rava went and not me? Omar, he said, Dilma, look, I don't know who's in that thing. I mean, it could be somebody that is close to the Reish Galuta, and maybe that's where Rav is going. So Rav Tzarech Lahu, Rav is in a position in which he needs these people, because he has to be on the good side. But I am a rich guy. It's actually Machlokas, which Rav Nachman this is, if this is Rav Nachman, who is Chatana de Benesia or not. But in any event, according to some Rishonim, it was Chatana de Benesia, and therefore he didn't need a Reish Galuta. And according to others, he was simply rich. And then, but when he saw it was Rav Nachman by Yaakov, so then he ran over to say Shalom Aleichem. Also, Lagabe, so he went over there in order to give him kavod. Goli Ladarit. Rav Nachman by Yaakov rolled up his sleeves and uncovered his forearm, which was an unusual thing, but it was extremely, extremely hot. And he was uncomfortable. So he was going to go in shirt sleeves. The Yomar, and he said, Shad Yanashiv. Darn, that shade, that demonic wind is blowing. I can't take it. Yomar Ravas, at that point, Ravas said, Och Yomar Rav. Rav pointed out about that wind, which was the Ruach Kadim, that even though it's interesting, this is a bit confusing, because the Lashon of Shida is usually used for other winds, but here we're using it, Tosis points out, it doesn't mean that the name of the wind was Shida. It means we're referring to the demonic wind. But in any event, so Rav said, you know what Rav said? Is that this is so bad, this wind, that it actually causes miscarriages. And Isha Mapeladibo. Shmuel Amar Afilo Margalish B'yamra Kevin. But this destroys even the oysters. And they don't form proper pearls. Even if you have semen that was perfectly viable and could have made a conception, it's going to get ruined by this. All of them were basing their statements on a pasuk. Ki hu bein achim yafri yavo kadim ruach Hashem mimidbar lo ole v'yevosh mikoro. So this wind separates between brothers, comes out of the desert, and dries up its base, its mekor, or its uterus. And then it goes on to say, Yacharev ma'ayano, it will wipe out, decimate its stream, or its well, and hu yishaseh otzo kol kli chemda, and it will break up the most valuable treasure chests. Okay, so we're darshaning it like this. Yevosh mekoro, that refers to mekora shelisha, which is even a embryo will cause her to abort. And that's what Rav was saying. Yecharav ma'ayano, that's referring to shechvas zerash v'mei yisha. The ma'ayan is a reference always to semen. It's his ma'ayan, but it's inside now of her uterus, and that's Rav Yochanan's drasha. Hu yiseh otzar kol kli chemda. The Kli Chemda, a treasure house, is the Margalit Shebayan. That's referring to the oyster. And that Shmuel is Rasha. Omar Rav, this is a great Rasha. I love that. Adi Surahu, the Daiki Kroi. That comes from Bnei Surah. They do these kind of things, which is brilliant. And they take a look, and they see the whole Pasuk as one, and recognize the phenomena it's referring to. My Kihu ben achim yafri. But nobody talked about the beginning of the pasuk, which is the comes between people. And that, I'm telling you, the way that the darshan things in Surah beautifully, you want to see the whole thing as a referring to a single thing. I'll tell you what it means. Well, my Rava, what it means is it comes between things that are meant to be put together. Afilu shufta, b'kupina demara rafya. Well, you have a wooden handle that has been pushed in, I mean, really under pressure, in a hoe. It's going to get so dried out that it will fall out of its hole. And that means between two things that are meant to be one, it separates. Rabbi Yosef Omer, this would be an Australian talk, it divides between mates. Rabbi Yosef Omer, afil sichta bedafna rafi. If you've got what they used to do is to hang something on a wall, so they would put a very tight-fitting peg, but the peg will fall out because of Ruach Kadim. Ruvach Bar Yaakov says, Afilu kanya b'kufta rafia. Even if you have now the kana, which is used for weaving, that is stuck into the weaving machine, it too will fall out and become loose. Hajan lo kolaget b'li neder. Now this last piece, if we take the approach, that's really Chassam Sofer says that approach, that we're talking about ruchot in the sense of a double meaning, that somehow the ruchot in the world are a reference or a parallel to the ruchot of Bnei Adam and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ruach HaMokim. So then this piece really relates it back to the question of Chazoka in terms of Gittin. You'll notice that all three examples that we use over here, Bein Achim Yafri, are male and female. In each one of them, you have a male piece that is going to be torn apart from its female component. And that means that this is a remez to the chazaka of something that's meant to stay together, and that there are hot things that come between them, and that tear apart things that are meant to be whole.